Up next, listen to the future of the internet with WebTalk and hear the latest news and trends keeping those electronic circuits and broadband connections buzzing.
This week on WebTalk Radio, we talk about search engine marketing for your website with Jeffrey Herzog, CEO of iCrossing.com. Also joining us, Chris Beer, to talk about mobile downloadable gaming in Asia.
Stay connected. WebTalk is coming up next.
WebTalk Radio is brought to you by Web.com, the most trusted name on the net. When you're ready to get on the web, visit Web.com for domain names as low as $4.95. Web.com offers full-featured web hosting, including online store packages, starting at only $7.95 per month. Web.com has thousands of .web.com names available at www.web.com.
You're listening to Web Talk at WebTalkRadio.com, and my name is Rob Greenlee, and thank you for joining us again from all points on the globe. We keep you plugged into the latest net trends out there and some of the coolest internet-connected devices and software that keep us all connected to the internet.
Hello, everyone. This is Dana Greenlee. I just want to take a moment to say, while we are broadcasting this on September 11, I just want to give a shout-out to our friends in New York and Washington, D.C. 3 years ago, we were wishing that we could be there with you and help you, and we just want you to know we're thinking of you.
Yeah, it's a dark time in the U.S. for all those folks out there that are listening to us from all over the world.
Now, 3 years on the internet are like dog years. That was like 21 years or something.
Yeah. Well, if you're talking about Amazon.com, yeah.
Of things have happened on the internet in those 3 years. And actually, a lot of things have happened just in 1 week's time. So that's what we're going to run down for you right now. And one of them is, Rob?
The U.S. falls behind in broadband adoption.
Audible.com now has a competitor in download audio programming.
The Rosedale chip fuels Intel's WiMAX drive, and Howard Stern is taking his TV show to the net.
And we're digging into our digital mailbag. We're talking to David from England.
And up next, after our first break, we're going to be speaking with Chris Beer, who is the general manager of Seattle-based MediaLead.com. And he's finding that Asia is becoming a fast-growing market for mobile downloadable games for mobile phone devices at places like Yahoo Asia, which he's built a lot of downloads for download games there, and all over the rest of the world as more mobile computing power comes to your mobile phone.
In Asia, the growth is particularly fast, particularly in China. You're seeing the world's largest mobile phone market. Everybody's just getting involved in China. And in Asia, the downloads have been happening for quite a few years.
If you have a website and you're interested in getting the word out to search engines, you want to stick around for our talk with Jeff Herzog. He's the CEO of iCrossing.com. It's a New York-based company. It's one of the oldest search engine marketing firms on the net. They're in the top 25, actually, in that field. Jeff will share his vision on the direction of search engine marketing and also tips on how you can make your site more search engine friendly.
One simple thing that I like to look at is when I go to a homepage of any website, I look at the file name generally behind the image of the homepage. And it's amazing to me that most companies have their image named topleft.jpg or something like that. If you want to come up for top left, it's a great, you know,
yeah,
file name.
And now to that news we teased about. Rob, U.S. is not looking really good when it comes to broadband adoption.
No, there's certainly disturbing trends here that we're seeing with how the U.S. is picking up its growth in the adoption of broadband. Actually, last year we were ranked fourth in the world for the adoption of broadband, but now we've dropped down to 10th this year.
Well, now, are we just progressing so much slower? Are other countries just speeding ahead, or combination, I'm sure?
We're actually not progressing as fast as the rest of the world, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that we have existing infrastructure. We have a lot of fiber optics, which a lot of the other countries around the world just don't have.
They skipped that and went right to the DSL cable.
Yeah.
It's actually a lot cheaper to buy into broadband. Over in Japan, for instance, it's like $10 a month. You know, we're paying $30 to $50 a month for DSL and cable here. In the Japan you know, for $10, you get 8 megabytes a second, whereas here it's like 1 to 3 megabytes per second.
Man, you're paying a lot more money for that, that's for sure. George Bush, the president here in the United States, is pushing for universal broadband access by the year 2007, while John Kerry, the Democratic challenger, has pledged some serious tax breaks that will boost broadband deployment here in the United States.
So our kudos to countries like Canada and South Korea that actually have more broadband adoption than we do. I don't think we can, here in the U.S., mock anybody else right now. We need to take some broadband lessons from them.
That is true.
Well, if you guys like taking your talk programming and your music with you, and you might be downloading Web Talk when you hit the road and take your MP3 player somewhere, well, there's you're, I'm sure, aware of Audible.com. They have a competitor now.
Yes, it's actually, it's been a past sponsor of our show. We need to put out that disclaimer here. And it's Serenade, which has now become Audio Feast at audiofeast.com.
Yeah, Serenade actually, yes, they were a sponsor, but we use them actually. We've been using them since before they were actually launched officially. We were in the beta, alpha, and beta tests.
Well, and it's part of our relationship with them because our show is available through the Audio Feast service right now. And basically what this enables is you to time shift lots of different radio programming to your MP3 player. And I think this is actually going to extend to other types of devices and stereos and those kind of things over time as Wi-Fi and WiMAX gets deployed in a big way. So look for actually Audio Feast at audiofeast.com and go check out what they're doing. And they're actually going to be launching some downloadable music to their service as well.
Rob, WiMAX in the news again. I always like to see that because, you know, I think that's a really hot way of getting your internet delivered.
Yes, it is. The Intel folks have released some new information about a new chip that they're coming out with. It's the Rosedale chip. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to build out a competitive advantage against the AMD chip by putting WiMAX, which is a much faster broadband wireless technology, into their chips. And that technology we're going to see coming out, and really the first generation will come out next year. And that standard will be basically in support or replacement of like cable modem and DSL connections at fixed locations. And then over the next couple of years or so, we're going to see this technology move into more of a mobile platform where there'll be multiple points available. And then true mobility will come to mobile devices and your laptop about the year 2007. And we're talking about 70 megabytes of wireless transfer rate. So it should really transform a lot of our wireless experience. It should be exciting.
Well, I was digging through the email this week, and well, we both found David's email from England. David Graham says, I'm a newbie to your show, and I think you're great. Only found you by accident through the Microsoft Media Player homepage. That's great. I saw that you're repeating your show currently, and we were doing that, David, last week. He says, I guess you guys are on holiday. I'd like to know when you're back from your break and when the next new show will be.
Yeah, we just took the week off just because of the holiday here, and we're back making new shows now, so keep listening.
And he did mention that he found us in the Microsoft Media Player. I want to take this moment to say that we just got the good news that not only will we continue to be in the radio tuner section of the Microsoft Windows Media Guide and the Media Player itself, but we're going to be a featured station. Microsoft is
starting on the 16th.
Informed us that they're going to put us right up there, and the featured stations is like 10 of them listed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's happened in the past, and it's been quite an honor, and we really appreciate it. And we get like 5 times as many listeners when that happens.
It's so going to be really amazing when we find it listed in there again.
If it's a little harder to sometimes connect to a stream, it's because you're competing now with about 70,000 people a day.
Yeah, that's right. There's going to be a lot of people coming. There's a couple other things I wanted to mention too. The big dangerous hurricane that's heading towards Florida right now is something you can track off of a couple different locations out there. You can actually click on a link on our front page right at the top right, and you can get the latest updates on that hurricane. And you can actually, another good place to go is the drudgereport.com. They usually have a lot of good coverage on there. And Yahoo has also announced this week that they're going to be hosting the Apprentice TV show website, of all things, which I wanted to mention.
You certainly can give us a jingle on the email at rob@webtalkradio.com or dana@webtalkradio.com. And support for WebTalk every week is brought to you by our friends
at web.com, the most trusted name on the net. And if you're ready to get on the web, go visit web.com for domain names as low as $4.95. And they've actually got a brand new website that they just launched this past week. So go check it out. It's a lot easier to use. And they also have great hosting packages for about $7.95 per month that actually has e-commerce built into it. So go to web.com.
Also, our friends at InfoCreek.com, they've been working really hard on our new site, and we think it's about to launch. So definitely check out InfoCreek.com if you're looking to have a website design. They do really nice little flash headers and nice colors, and they're very talented. That's InfoCreek.com. Well, if you're interested in Asia and games and mobile devices, you're going to listen to the next segment. Chris Beer is joining us. He's the general manager of Seattle-based MediaLead.com. And he's going to talk about Asia as a fast-growing market for mobile downloadable games to mobile phones at places like Yahoo Asia.
This is Web Talk Radio. Hi, this is Rob Greenlee of Web Talk Radio. I've got a tip for you. If you're looking to register a new domain name or get a new website hosted, then support the Web Talk Radio show by visiting web.com. They have been a trusted name on the web for years and have had over 300,000 customers over the years. They specialize in domain name registrations and hosting, but they have a domain name registration as low as $4.95 per year, and that's for a yourname.web.com domain name. And they also have regular .com domain names for $6.95 per year. Web.com was recently ranked number one by tophost.com and CNET certified as being a top web hosting provider. Their hosting plans are as low as $7.95 per month, and that's even for an online e-commerce solution. So trust me, web.com is a great place to get your solution, and you can give them a call at 1-800-761-2468. That's 1-800-761-2468, or just visit them right on their website at web.com. You're back with Web Talk at WebTalkRadio.com, and my name is Rob Greenlee, and Dana Greenlee is here with me as well.
Well, most of us have cell phones, and the number of cell phone users is growing globally all the time. There's more capabilities, and there's more power for these phones. And so, consequently, entertainment gaming has become very popular for these mobile devices, like Game Boy. But gaming is coming fast to a cell phone in your pocket.
We are joined by Chris Beer, who is the general manager of Seattle-based MediaLead.com, and he's finding that Asia is becoming a fast-growing market for mobile downloadable games to mobile phone devices at places like Yahoo Asia and all over the rest of the world as well, as more mobile computing power comes to your mobile phone. Chris, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Rob.
We've never covered the whole area of mobile downloading games and software on the show before, but it seems like everything's going wireless and smartphones are certainly growing fast around the world, especially in Asia. Why don't you tell us a bit about your mobile gaming company that you have, Mobile Lead, and your special connection with Asia?
Right. Yes, Media Lead is a leading international mobile content publisher and distributor specializing in phone games. We distribute to over 300 million subscribers in both Asia and Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you pointed out that in Asia, the growth is particularly fast, particularly in China. You're seeing the world's largest mobile phone market. Everybody's just getting involved in China. And in Asia, the downloads have been happening for quite a few years now.
Yeah, it certainly seems to be growing over there pretty fast. What's one of the big reasons that you think that the whole wireless thing over there is growing so fast?
Well, I think there's two things. First is the accessibility of mobile content. Mobile content certainly is driving the industry in both mm-hmm. Europe and Asia. These systems and the process in Asia are such that when you turn on your phone in a lot of the countries, you actually have immediate internet access. Whereas in the United States, it's very different. As you know, you have to go through maybe a 5 to 10 step process just to get to the internet. So that makes mobile content very accessible via the internet.
Yeah, and it seems like that we're falling farther and farther behind Asia and Europe when it comes to making that net connection through that mobile phone.
Yes, and hopefully, the U.S. carriers are going to see that. And the other issue is the fact that so many Asian countries, and probably more applicable to Eastern European countries than the developed European countries, is the fact that, mobile phones can be given away free of charge for a for an individual to sign up on a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's become their personal mobile computing device versus here where we really look at our laptops and our computers as kind of our computing device.
Yeah, well, that certainly fits in with the movement of cell phones getting more processing power and more memory and things. And it seems like you were saying, that those Asian markets are the ones that are probably going to adopt some of that stuff faster, but probably the price needs to come down a little bit.
That's right. Yeah, the pricing on the smartphones, as you pointed out, are still a bit high. It does capture a certain niche market, but certainly as the technology improves and becomes more widespread, the price should go down. Even the smartphones would be accessible to a broader audience.
Chris, tell us a little bit about your company, MediaLead. Now, you're based out of Seattle, but you have also a special connection to Asia. So give us the background on that.
Sure. The background is we have a real special relationship with Yahoo Asia. We have what's called a master license, and half the games that you see on the Yahoo Asian portals, the mobile portals, are from us. The games that we sell on those channels, they tend to be the pretty simple games. One good example is a game called Mobile Pet. And this game is as simple to make and create and develop as any game you'll find anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But it sells particularly well in Asia and Europe, maybe because it is simple.
Yeah, I'm sure it needs to be simple just to be able to run on some of these phones that really aren't all that powerful from a processing side.
That's right.
What was that name of that game again?
It's called Mobile Pet.
So now, those of us in America, can we find an online equivalent of that?
Online?
Yeah.
Well, our website, www.mobilelead.net, has the Mobile Pet game on it, and you are able to purchase that game. It is the mobile phone version.
Mm-hmm.
As far as online, I'm not aware of a Mobile Pet online game.
Yeah, you just have the exclusive.
Yes, we've been fortunate to have that good relationship, and we keep them happy with good downloads.
Actually, Yahoo Asia is a pretty nice company to be in bed with there, Chris. Good going.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of people going to that site. I'm sure you're starting to see some really good growth in the downloads, probably.
That's right, yeah. Both Yahoo Asia, our other strong channel is over in Germany with the Bertelsmann people. They facilitate the T-Online, you're probably familiar with T-Mobile in Germany, and their handy.de sites are really giving us good downloads. And again, it's the same simple games that really work. Just to give you a background, that, you know, a lot of these channels, they keep their doors closed, and they hear you have, I have iRobot games, I have all these movie-branded games, 20th Century Fox, Universal Studios, and they offer those games at pretty much an equal level to these other games, but it turns out that you don't really need the brands to be successful. The basic, simple games tend to still win out, even if they don't have the big brand name.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
But I'm sure that soon those 3D games, those robust games are probably going to come to these devices too, and you guys are probably going to be handling those as well, I'm sure.
Yes, that's true. 3D has become, just recently, a real popular type of game in both Germany and Southeast Asia with Yahoo Asia. We have this couple 3D games that are selling pretty well, and one good example is a three-dimensional skating board game. You know, that's a good example of a 3D.
Well, Chris, we only have a few minutes left. I want to give you a shot at sort of putting on your futurist hat. What's your vision for the mobile gaming market over the next 3, 4, 5 years? What do you think is really the hot thing around the bend?
Right, yeah. I see RPG multiplayer games as really moving the direction of moving the mobile gaming industry.
Mm-hmm.
And driving it. It enables the carriers to have a little bit more control, which is, I think, the reason why the local U.S. carriers are probably being still a little close to the market. They will have more control over multiplayers.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the RPG, meaning role-playing, where the game player can choose any number of types of weapons or faces that they put on or characters, and then they're able to manipulate the environment they in or fight in. And those, I see those as the real driving content for the future.
Oh, I agree. I'm totally into the role playing. It's just wonderful to be a different persona. It's totally amazing.
Yes, and then in combination with that, there's the location-based services, the subscription-based content will be very good too.
Yeah, and it's also probably all going to follow the adoption of wireless broadband, I'm sure, as that grows. Well, now, Chris, why don't you tell us about your Asia portal site that you have, too?
Sure. Yeah, asialinks.com and mobilelead.net both have multilingual support. In essence, we're building a downloadable portal for mobile content, and it's focused on games. Of course, that's our bread and butter. It will eventually enable users to download directly to their phone any game that they purchase on our portal.
Well, that's terrific. What are all the site URLs that our listeners can go check out and find all your content?
Okay. Yeah, the one that's currently up is called www.mobilead.net.
Okay. Terrific.
Thank you so much, Chris. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Okay,
yeah, Chris,
thank you.
Thanks for joining us, and good luck to your companies out there. We hope you sell lots of download games.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
All right.
If you own a website or are plugged into the concept of search engine marketing, you don't want to miss our next conversation. Stay tuned. We'll talk to Jeffrey Herzog, CEO of iCrossing.com. They're in the top 25 interactive marketing firms, according to Media Magazine and Advertising Age. Jeffrey's going to talk to us about how best to market your site in the search engines. You're listening to Web Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Rob Greenlee of Web Talk Radio. I've got a tip for you. If you're looking to register a new domain name or get a new website hosted, then support the Web Talk Radio show by visiting web.com. They have been a trusted name on the web for years and have had over 300,000 customers over the years. They specialize in domain name registrations and hosting, but they have a domain name registration as low as $4.95 per year, and that's for a yourname.web.com domain name. And they also have regular .com domain names for $6.95 per year. Web.com was recently ranked number one by tophost.com and CNET certified as being a top web hosting provider. Their hosting plans are as low as $7.95 per month, and that's even for an online e-commerce solution. So trust me, Web.com is a great place to get your solution, and you can give them a call at 1-800-761-2468. That's 1-800-761-2468, or just visit them right on their website at web.com. Welcome back to Web Talk at webtalkradio.com, and I'm Rob Greenlee. Danny Greenlee is here, too.
Search engine marketing and the search engine marketplace, as well, are fast-growing areas. It's always good to know how you can get your website right up there at the top of the search engines. Google's going public. Yahoo and Microsoft are becoming very serious and public companies.
We are joined on the line from New York by Jeff Herzog, who's the CEO of iCrossing.com. And his company is one of the oldest search engine marketing firms, and Jeff's going to share his vision on the direction that search engine marketing is moving as we look out in the future. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Happy to be here, Rob.
What I was hoping to do was talk generally about what's happening with the search engines and the whole marketplace of search engines, kind of get a sense on what's happening out there and what the directions of a lot of the search engines are going, especially sites like Google and things and what they're doing. And it also almost seems like over the last year or so that things have gotten a little bit more complex from a search engine marketing standpoint. It seems like Google has gotten pretty sophisticated in how they set up their page rank, and it's really kind of, I guess, taken us out of the whole age of, you know, like back in the late 90s and the early 2000s, where you could really manipulate Google and really do some tricks to it to get higher page ranks. Where are we at right now, you know, in that whole area of kind of manipulating the search engines?
Well, you know, that's one word I certainly don't like using, is manipulating search engines.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, well, search engines have been providing a terrific service for years, so the story is much the same over the last 5 years, that people have lots of questions on how search engines work and how they can appear.
Yeah.
What's getting most attention is that more and more people are using search, and certainly Google's IPO brought more attention to the broad spectrum of people. but it's an international way of actually, you know, finding information. So as it becomes more part of our daily lives, more questions come up.
Mm-hmm.
Being found on a search engine gets you the most targeted audience. And to the winner of actually that visibility means, you know, more conversions and more sales.
Oh, yeah.
So it's
definitely
just really more important today. But it's been the same sort of, you know, how does it work for years?
Yeah. Well, it seems like that it's more difficult now to actually rise up into the first page for any particular keyword. What techniques are you guys using out there to actually help your clients
get up to the top? Sure. Well, I'd like you to think of, you know, being found in the natural results of a search engine like mm-hmm. Google or Yahoo or MSN, very similar to that associated with the PR industry. Meaning if you want to be on the cover of the New York Times, you just can't simply write a check and say, hey, write an article and put me on a cover of the New York Times.
Yeah.
But what you would do is you'd go out and hire a PR firm, one that knew what the editors were looking for, knew how to pitch the story so that over time you got increased visibility. Well, our company and other search engine marketers understand the different criteria, which there are many, that each search engine is looking for. And we ensure that the content, whether it be a web page or PDF or any online content, is meeting this ever-changing criteria.
Mm-hmm.
Over time, get the visibility.
You do say it's ever-changing because, I mean, I think some people are still stuck on the fact that, oh, meta tags, but, you know, that's all I need, and
right.
or they'll have a big flash page, and how helpful is that?
Right. Well, what we've talked about is that, you know, everyone realizes that if you can come up on the first page, you're going to have, you know, best chance to be found and drive qualified traffic, so it's much more competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's no trickery, foolery, or trying to, you know, outsmart a search engine. It's just ensuring that your content, again, has the criteria and stays on top of that criteria as it changes. So it's more than a meta tag, correct? It's a comprehensive strategy for all your content and things like titles and descriptions and linking and file names and content, and being as relevant as possible will obviously, at the end of the day, lead to the best search result.
Let's move on and talk about the distinctions between the free listings and the paid listings.
Sure.
And kind of how the whole market is kind of moving, it seems like, toward more paid listings. But what are you guys seeing out there as the direction of it? I mean, is the free listings going to maintain its prominence like at places like Google? And
absolutely. In my opinion, free listings or the natural listings are really the intelligence of the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
They're unbiased. They're not paid. Going back to the newspaper example, I mean, we know we have editorial. We have content's being written. We also know the difference when we see an advertisement. Paid listings that appear along the top or along the side and are listed or designated or are noted as paid, sponsored, are advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And search engines, though their revenue is dependent upon advertising, aren't going to get the credibility for delivering an advertising engine. What they're delivering is a search engine, which is a combined editorial and advertising to support mm-hmm. what they do. So I wouldn't imagine that a library would only be books that paid to be in it, but they could potentially support their need to have computers and place to do business by advertising along the side, very similar to that in search. So what we see is the majority of people choose natural results or the free listings as their primary way to connect information. But they also click on advertising for certain keywords because they know that if an advertiser is paid there, they're very likely to be just as relevant. When you market and search, it's not one over the other. We get the combination of the two because that's the best way to get the most visibility and drive mm-hmm. the most targeted visitors.
Certainly from a search engine perspective, it would certainly make more sense for them to drive more of the sponsored links because they actually get paid for those.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's keep in mind that Google did not become the number one brand in the world.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
Because they figured out a way to monetize search. The
mm-hmm.
reason why they became the number one brand is that they delivered quick, very relevant, you know, great results in the natural side. That's where their brand has been built. And now capitalizing on that brand by having advertising mm-hmm. only makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing to consider is that as good as Google's technology is, if companies aren't meeting or people aren't meeting the criteria of these search engines, we're not going to get a very great search result. I always say it takes two to tango, meaning, again, just as good as Google's going to be, if we haven't put our content in a way that Google sees it as relevant, we don't really make the best chance to have the best search results. So it's a twofold scenario.
Since we're kind of Google-centric right now because they're so prominent.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
What is your opinion on how you think that – what do you tell your clients about their AdSense program and the fact that their paid links or their paid listings will be on all kinds of contextual sites out there that would actually help them. Has that been helpful to them?
Yeah, I think they have in many cases. A direct search result, meaning I type something very specific and I get exactly what I'm looking for, is the best. But typing in, for example, toothpaste, but finding out about dentists, in the context, it's relevant the same, but it's second best. So I would say that direct search results are king and context is queen. They go together, and we have certain expectations. They're certainly more relevant and more valuable than a random banner ad that no one asked for or didn't search. Mm-hmm. I look at it as we're in much of what we call consumer democracy, is that we're in seeking the information that we want, and we want it when we want it. Mm-hmm. The land of TiVo and such. Random advertising is out. What we call reverse direct marketing, or the prospect seeking the business, a.k.a. search, is in.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, what can a site like Google do to make their free listings more relevant? It seems like that I think we've identified here that the sponsored links typically can be more relevant for a particular keyword. They may not be every keyword, but most keywords, and that may be the value equation between the free listings and the sponsored links, is that those are perceived as more relevant. What can Google do to actually make their index, and how does that affect people like you that actually are helping sites out there become more relevant?
Well, a site cannot become more relevant just because Google suggests that it is or it isn't. Mm-hmm. The way the site becomes relevant is by having great content. There's no substitute mm-hmm. for that. And it's not just having great content, but ensuring that in the context of this web universe, we link to sites that are just as relevant, and they link to us that are relevant.
Yeah.
And that's how algorithms are based. Now, Microsoft, and we'll bring their name up, is really trying to get into this search game, and they just had an alpha test of their search, and it didn't meet many expectations, and so they're back to the drawing board. But ultimately, there's a relationship between content, the criteria in the code behind that content, and then the relation of that content to all the other content on the web.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very tough game.
Yeah, it is.
If I'm speaking on a certain subject and I'm certainly have lots of words that are relevant to an issue, and we're doing a good job of optimizing the pages, meeting the criteria of the search engines, having titles, having descriptions, having proper file names, I'm sure that technology each day is going to improve. It's just going to be a natural progression of what I call, when you get a good search result, the intelligence of the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff, let's talk a little bit about iCrossing. I mean, you obviously know what you're doing. You've been doing it for a long time. But tell me a little bit about what you do, your company. When did you start?
Right. The company was founded in 1998. So actually, before Google was Google, we were in this business of search engine marketing. I was personally, in love with Yahoo, that it was going to connect the world's information. And instead of having a competitive search engine, I thought if we could market successfully to have someone get greater visibility on Yahoo, it would be a terrific model. Well, it's nice to be right once in a while. 6 years later, through what I call .com, .bomb, recession, and today, 9/11, though many years ago, we stayed the course of search. And search is international. Search is a fully quantifiable medium in and of itself. And our company takes that holistic approach to it. Mm-hmm. We're 75 people on the East and West Coast, and all we do is talk search all day.
We're having a conversation with Jeffrey Herzog. He's CEO of iCrossing.com. More with Jeffrey and search engine marketing in a moment. You're listening to Web Talk Radio.
They have the internet on computers now.
Homer, Bill Gates is here.
Bill Gates? Billionaire computer nerd Bill Gates? Oh my god, oh my god. Get out of sight, Marge. I don't want this to look like a two-bit operation.
The Web Talk Guys. The audio download begins now.
Web Talk Radio is back. I'm Rob Greenlee, and I'm here with Web Girl Dana.
On the phone with us is Jeffrey Herzog. He's the CEO of iCrossing.com, giving us the scoop on search engine marketing for websites.
So how do you see the whole separate direction of search going, like with the frugal site and the whole marketplace type search things?
Right.
I think that's where we jump into the whole genre of all of it being paid search. Is that something that you see that the natural search is going to blend in with those, like a frugal search result too, or is it going to remain separate?
Yeah, I think they remain separate, though they may be on, you know, one page of search result, but designated what is paid and what is not. Mm-hmm. Again, back to that newspaper example, I think that's very important. Vertical specific search engines are terrific. They may have only, you know, specific content to a specific topic and therefore may produce inherently a better result other than a search engine that may have to just search billions of pages on every subject. Mm-hmm. As these come into the marketplace, you know, from a search engine marketing standpoint, you know, our job is to take advantage of interest to action, meaning interest, the keyword that someone typed in, action, what they did. And so if it's Google, Yahoo, MSN, or any other search engine, we'll find that interest and either buy the search keyword or naturally position to be found on that and then track it all the way through to an action.
So are you guys working on building software tools that can enable the management of all of these different search engines and all these different marketplaces out there to really help your clients more easily manage all of those connections?
Yeah, and we actually build tools to help our client service and account teams manage better each day and be more efficient in their day. And we've been building proprietary tools not only to quantify the actions that search engine visitors take, but to make the bidding process for paid search more efficient and doing this all in-house. When you're dealing with many, many search engines and even on an international basis and many different pricing models, if you can bring all this information into one easy-to-understand and manage interface, you've really built a tool that can, you know, capture the essence of the medium. Mm-hmm. And that's what our company has been about since day one, you know, focusing on search as a medium.
So your reporting structure kind of hands it right to the client, says you got clicked through this many times with this kind of result and, you know, people bought that kind of information?
Yeah, you know, if you go from interest to action, we also compare and contrast. So we can say you've spent this much on Google, this much with Overture, this much with MSN, and this keyword produced this result, and pulled any combinations of reports to really make informed business decisions. We also compare that a paid search campaign to a natural search campaign, so you can draw certain conclusions. We also look to show what keyword is more effective at delivering what result. Knowing, you know, it's amazing because if you actually try to say all the things that we quantify and ask anybody in television, radio, no offense, or newspaper business to quantify the metrics that we can, you know, it'd be a very fast discussion that they couldn't get there. So
that is the phenomenal, you know, dirty little secret is that really you can't, I mean, unless big media buys into Arbitron and that kind of thing, and even that's just a sampling, but you guys get raw actual log file numbers and it's
absolutely
terrific.
I mean, it's like having it, search is like having a billboard in the middle of the street where everybody who walks by is already interested, and we can track each one of those already interested people all the way down to what they do, and even if they return 30 days later to make a purchase, we can capture that data and say, you spent X number of dollars on the search, you got this many sales, this many orders, this many email subscriptions, these many branding impressions, and that's powerful.
So much for the days of all you have to do is put meta tags in your website and you're good to go with you know, all the major search engines out there. Why don't you tell us a little bit about kind of your philosophy, and I know a lot of our listeners have websites that they're working with on the whole aspect of adding like Flash and Perl scripts and JavaScripts and things like that. What do you guys do to kind of manage that?
Well, what we do as a company is, you know, inform our clients as to, you know, what search engines can read most effectively. And actually, Google's made great progress at reading Flash files. So, you know, if a client has an existing website, we'll suggest all the things they should do or develop workarounds to ensure that they put their content in the best, you know, position forward to be found. If there are certain, you know, things that they shouldn't be doing, we'll inform them immediately of that. And obviously, at the end of the day, just ensure that they've put themselves in the best position to have search engine spiders read their site all the way through and give them the best chance to be found.
Yeah, and it seems like that search engines like Google are actually making progress in making their spiders more intelligent to be able to scan those things. And do you see it, you know, with time at, you know, out in the future when Google can basically read anything and everything and you don't have to worry about what you put up?
Right. And they, you know, I don't think that will be that simple.
Okay.
But they'll be able to read everything. And unfortunately, there'll only be maybe 20 or 30 positions on the first page of the search result.
Yeah.
So how will one company be in the first position or the second position, especially when we talk about the natural results versus the second or third page? And then this is where it comes down to. It's so darn competitive.
Yeah.
It's so important to be found, that you want to make sure that you're taking advantage of every possible criteria or option you have.
I'd be curious if you can pick just one beloved little criteria or option. What would that be if you only could do one?
Right. Well, one simple thing that I like to look at is when I go to a homepage of any website, I look at the file name generally behind the image of the homepage. And it's amazing to me that most companies have their image named top left. .jpg or something like that. If you want to come up for top left, it's a great, you know, it's a great file name. But knowing that search engines read file names and give weight to the keywords within them, you know, that's one hint. Another hint, it would be many websites in their titles have welcome to company X.
That's not
very
effective.
If you want to come up for welcome, which is one of the most indexed terms, you know, there you go.
It's not very targeted search results, is it?
No. And, you know, you want to make sure that whatever tagging that you do, whether it's in a title or a description or a file name or in a link text, is relevant to the content on the page. Each web page should be looked at as its own website and have a theme tied to it. And, you know, you want to make sure you also don't go overboard and try to over-optimize a page or try to fill too many keywords in to achieve a goal, because that will have a negative effect. So there's an optimal balance, and I suggest that anyone that really, truly wants to take advantage of this exploding medium of search, consult a professional as to ensure that they're doing all the best practices they can.
So are you seeing some other search-type sites out there that are really starting to do really groundbreaking things, I mean, that could eventually catch up to Google?
You know, I haven't seen it. I'm concerned where 95% or more of the traffic is.
Yeah.
And if you stick to the top, you know, six or seven search engines, that's where the traffic is. But there are lots of dollars flooding into search, people with new innovative ideas to come up with the next Google, so to speak, and improving, you know, our overall intelligence of the internet. I'm sure you'll see some names come up.
From your perspective, what would you list the top four or five in order of the most important?
Right. As I know them, obviously Google's got the dominant position, and their natural results are provided on AOL as well. So Google, Yahoo, MSN, we're most of the traffic is. I'm not going to leave out, you know, and ask Jeeves to round it out. But those are the main players of where the majority of the traffic are. They're also very niche engines that do a good job. And, you know, I'll name a few others that I don't care if you're on any of the top engines or if you're on business.com or if you're on Canoodle or if you're on yellowpages.com. I'm concerned as a marketer that someone's typed a keyword that expresses their interest and the action they take. So, you know, where we may say 95% of the traffic is in these top engines, it might be also very difficult and expensive to get there. Wherever you have a search engine that you can market on, if you can be found for your keyword and track it to an action, you're more successful than any other marketing that you might do to a random audience.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as far as some of the other search engines that are really kind of growing in popularity, if you look at, you know, sites like Frugal and MySimon and Shopping.com, it seems like those are becoming more important as a subset of search, I would think.
There are second-tier engines when you combine them that are getting more and more play. At the end of the day, back to the point, if they're typing your keyword, they're relevant to you.
Jeff, it's great to have you on the show.
I appreciate being here. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you.
You can definitely find out more about Jeff and his company at iCrossing.com. Thank you very much for listening to Web Talk Guys this week. That's it for our show this week, but Rob and I will be back here bringing you more glimpses into the future of the internet.
Thank you for downloading the Web Talk Guys. bookmark us now for next week. Same Web Talk Guys time, same Web Talk Guys channel.